Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned. It ain't always about what you go through, but how you go through. Yeah, so go through. Hey, what's up, guys? This is your boy, Daquan King, and man, you are in for an awesome show tonight. At least I hope you are. Before we even get into it, before I get into all that jitter jatter, chipper chapper talk or whatever, let's lift up God, man. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this show tonight. We thank you, Father, for the air that we breathe. We thank you, Father, for everything that you are, God. We acknowledge you, your presence, your sovereignty, your love, your kindness. We acknowledge, God, that without you, we couldn't do a thing, Father, that we are just, we're a mess without you, Father. We need you in every word that we speak. We need you in everything that we do and the way that we respond and react, God. Tonight I plan to talk about love, God. Tonight I plan to talk about relationships, God. And I have a plan. I have this thing mapped out of what I want to say and how I want to say it, God. But you know what the listener needs to hear, God. And you know what you want to communicate, Father. So even though I have a plan and I have came up with something and I've consulted you, Father, I pray that you arrest my thoughts, God. I pray that you arrest my lips, God. I pray that you arrest my personality, Father, and that you use me, Father, devoid of me, Father, devoid of how I want to be used, God, but use me the way that you want to use me, Father. I thank you, Father, for the person whose life will be changed through this show tonight. I thank you for the relationship that will be healed. I thank you for the mind that will be changed and renewed. I thank you, Father, for this here, this opportunity, Father, and I will not waste it. I pray, Father, that you use this show, Father, to change a life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And guys, tonight, listen, man, we're going to talk about don't lose your awe. I mean, you know, that when you see that good thing and, you know, you're just in awe of it, you know what I mean? And I say that good thing, I'm talking about your spouse, your husband or your wife or the person that you're going to be marrying soon, or the person you're intended to marry, or maybe you're not in a relationship, but you're looking to be in one. And this show could be for you, because trust me, what I have to say today, even though you may not be in a relationship today, 4 years down the line, is going to be very good if you get this in your soul, because it's a seed. Every word is a seed, and we trust that God will make it increase in our lives and use us for his will and his glory. But since I'm talking about love, and one thing I always do is lift up my wife after I lift up God, it's just only right, you know, for this show. So, baby, I know you're listening, and I know you're listening with a smile on your face, because, you know, your man talking, and I got a smile on my face, too, because I'm just thinking about you. Man, listen, I love you, girl. You mean the world to me. God could take everything else, but he take you. Man, I mean, the house, the car, you know, the money, you know, all that stuff is good and dandy and all. But I feel like, you know, if I got you, girl, in my life, I can get everything back. We can conquer it all together, you know. So I'm just blessed to have you. I'm blessed to know you. I'm blessed to share life with you. I'm blessed to be in your life, for you to have, for me to be in your life. It's just a blessing. And, you know, I could not imagine doing this life without you. I can't do this show without you. And so I'm just grateful for you, baby. You are the absolute superlative in my life. You just are. You just are. So thank you. Thank you for being so beautiful inside and out. And, you know, we got a kingdom to build. And I feel blessed because I know God gave me someone who's gonna ride with me, you know. So it's just amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing, guys, when God allows you to be exposed to his good gift. And you know, you have to make the right decision when you're exposed to it, because a lot of times, man, we can be in the presence of what God has for us and miss it for being distracted with something else, a decoy, you know. And you know, some of y'all may think you married a decoy, but I'm here to tell you, if you married to him, that's not a decoy. You know, you just got to trust God to rearrange your relationship, to transform your relationship, to renew your relationship. And a lot of times, that person could be everything that you thought you didn't want to be with, and everything that you ran from in life. And now all of a sudden you're married to this person, and it's like, oh my God, who is this? What is this? I was tricked, you know. But at the end of the day, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you how that person tricked you. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my word? And the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. So in spite of how much of a joker that person may have become, or how inauthentic a person may be, you got to love them like Christ loved you when you was full of mess, and when you wasn't living right, and when you was faking and phoning and drinking and jumping and whatever. And Christ yet died for you, and he expects us to do the same thing. And, you know, I know it's an easy thing to say, but I think any married couple will deal with the realities of marriage, because the reality is the person you think you're marrying is never the person that you're married to, because that person is going to always evolve and change. And what I mean by that is, we're changing. I've been married 5 years, and the woman I'm married to is not the same woman I got married to. She may have the same name, you know, same beautiful face, you know what I mean, and same sweetness, but she's just not the same. Her tastes have changed. Her likes and dislikes have changed. What she liked to do then and what she liked to do now, all that's changed. And if I don't know how to evolve with her, man, I am in a problem. I'm messed up. Because I changed too. And so we have to learn to change together and change to be one, you know, grow into being one, not growing apart, because that it's just not beneficial to marriage or any good relationship, any type of relationship. But listen, guys, tonight, man, we're going to talk about being in awe. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. You know, we're going to get into some music as well, but just to give you a little piece of it, you know, what I mean by don't lose your awe. You know, when I first started dating my wife, Nana, man, I was in awe. I mean, like, to me, she was the bomb diggity, bomb, bomb, bomb. Like I couldn't see nobody else, you know. I was in awe of her. You know, I would stay up on the phone with her all night long, you know, to just talk to her. Till I fell asleep. I couldn't get enough of hearing her voice or communicating with her. I love to be around her, you know. I move my schedule around, whatever it took, just to hang out with her or be around her. If I was on the phone with somebody else and I got into her presence, I cut off that conversation, you know. Not even that I needed to talk to her, but it was just that it was her time. As soon as I got around her, it was her time. Everybody else's time was gone. Like, they didn't matter. I was in awe, you know. But then I got used to her. I got used to seeing her. Got used to being around her. She didn't change too much. I mean, she was still beautiful. She was still sweet. She was still an amazing woman of God. But I got comfortable. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight, is how we can get comfortable in our relationships and comfortable with that one thing that we once prayed to God so heavily for. I mean, we were passionate about it in our prayers, and we just believed God and we believed God. And then God finally gave us exactly what we was praying for. It was like, whoa, this is it. And you went and you told everybody, told all your homeboys and your homegirls, I found them, I found them, I got it. This is it, finally. And it's time for us to get back there. I mean, why not? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what happened before, what happened in between, and how to get back to where we are, what happened before. Because I'm not going to say this for every relationship, but we can easily get comfortable. We get very comfortable with our relationships. We get comfortable with our jobs. We get comfortable with our friends. We get comfortable with our God. And as soon as we get comfortable, the value drops. That person that we were once not comfortable with, they were once in awe in our eyesight and in our hearts. You know what I mean? It was just in awe. Their value was so high that you wouldn't let anything bad come around them, and you wouldn't let anything bad come out of you around that person, because you were in awe of them. You had them on a pedestal. And man, it's time to get our spouses, our relationships, back on that pedestal. Not that they're God in our life. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is your marriage will suffer. Your engagement will suffer if you fail to pursue. Because though they're there in your life, they still need to be pursued. I got Jesus, I got Christ in my life, but I still have to pursue. As Todd Tribbett said, I'll forever be chasing after you. God wants us to chase after him. The Bible tells us to labor to know our wives so that our prayers aren't hindered. What does that laboring mean? You can't labor and be complacent. You cannot labor and be on chill. That don't make no sense. Smoke it. If you are laboring, that means that you are putting in effort, that you are working. Yo, let's get into this music, man. Y'all ain't ready. Let's get it, man. God bless you, man. It ain't always about what you go through, but how you go through. Yeah, so go through. Cause without faith, the devil will expose you. He hates you, he's no friend to the good hearted. That's why he's always trying to snatch you back the way you started. Gotta increase your word, consume it all. Don't just be a hero, hey, do it all. Practice patience, learn to submit. Humility is key to subdue the offense. Fools rush in, hey, take the time. Say a little prayer before you speak your mind. Cause it ain't how you act, but how you react. And some things you say you can't take back. And pride and heavy thinking, man, I can't take that. But vengeance is the Lord's, man, he will pay back.
I know yeah. It's hard out here, but you ain't gotta be. Man, there's a God out here. You just gotta stay strong, no matter what.
I hope this helps you, because it's helping me. Sometimes I struggle with who God created me to be. I ain't a perfect man, I'll be the first to say it. Some mistakes I made ain't even worth debating. Sometimes my flesh is stronger, over my pride I stumble. Everyone clapping for me, gotta remain humble. Even the best fumble, but they just try again. Today I kill my flesh, but I gotta die again. Don't shed a tear for me, that's just the way it is. I'm getting so saved, the devil hating it. So he attacked my ankles, I attacked his head. I refuse to surrender, innocent blood was shed. yeah, we all human. But champions don't quit, we take the lick and keep it moving. Stay focused on heaven, cause that's what we pursuing. So when the storm hits, we know that he will see us.
I know it's hard out here, but you ain't gotta see. Man, it's a God out here. You just gotta stand strong, no matter what all goes. Cause you are not alone, alone, alone. You are not alone. You are not alone, alone, alone. You are not alone.
I know you feel like you're all alone, but I promise he has never left you. He knows your pain, he sees your tears, the ones you don't share, the cries you won't let no one hear. There's no reason to fear, just trust and believe. He's Jehovah Jireh, he'll provide what you need. He'll provide what you need. He'll provide what you need. And you are not alone, you are not alone.
Yo, yo. So that was none other than yours truly. This dude I know, his name is D King. That song I wrote, man, I thought it would be good for this show tonight. It kind of started out like, you know, talks about how you have to humble yourself and, you know, not respond out of character. Trust God to speak for you, to have your back, to know what's going on. I thought it would be good for this show. But let's get into this tonight, because I kind of want to get into this and I want to play a little bit more music as well. So tonight I'm talking about don't lose your awe. And I'm going to paint a picture for you. I don't really have to paint a picture. I'm just going to tell you. For my anniversary, 50th anniversary, we went to Jamaica, man. It was nice. Like, it was really, really nice. It was my first time to Jamaica. It wasn't like my first time to the Caribbean. I've kind of been around a little bit, been traveling a little bit, and I'm really just loving the Caribbean, man. I would love to retire, like, on an island somewhere, St. Martin or St. Thomas, St. Lucia somewhere. And to me, that would just be like ultimate for me, you know, because I already love living by the water. I love being on the water. I'm just, that's just me, man. I could be at the water all day long and be happy, 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 happy. So here I am in Jamaica in this hotel, looking out over the balconies, beautiful turquoise water, you know, a little island out there. And, you know, I go out, we go snorkeling, and I'm in the water, snorkeling, I'm seeing all these different color fish and everything, and it's just wonderful, man. I mean, like, I had such an awesome time. And then I'm at this all-inclusive resort, right? So not only am I in, like, what we would consider paradise, but because it's a resort, you know, we got people catering to everything that we, every need or whatever. So, you know, at one point I went to grab my bag, and the man was like, no, man, don't worry about that, man. You know, you're on vacation, man. And he took the bag from me. He wouldn't let me grab my own bag. He's like, you're on vacation, man. Go have fun. And it was just like, oh, this is nice. And, you know, something like that will make you just fall in love with Jamaica. I mean, like, everything, you know, room service at any given time, you know, food was always on deck. It was, you know, the excursions, you know, it was free. You know, we went to this Dunn's Riverfall, and we're walking up the waterfall, man. I mean, like, literally walking up a riverfall, and that was awesome. But, I mean, you know, it's paradise, right? And, you know, all these people, they're just loving it. They're enjoying themselves. And the people that are working there, they're smiling and stuff, too. But they don't seem to be enjoying themselves like I was enjoying myself. Now, this is the thing. Both of us are in Jamaica. We both are at the same hotel. but we're having two totally different experiences. Now, the person that's from America, me, you know what I'm saying? From Archer, Florida, y'all don't even get that. I'm from Archer, Florida. I'm up in Jamaica chilling, you know. But here I am in Jamaica, and I'm just like, oh, this is it, man. Where do I sign up? What can I buy? A condo, a house, or something? How much will it cost me? You know, I just want to be here. This is it. This is the spot. And the man that's carrying the bag, you know, he's smiling. He got a smile on his face. He's doing his job and all. But he's not seeing it like I'm seeing it. And I wonder why. I mean, why is he having such a totally different experience from the experience that I'm having? And I'm paying to be there. Like, I only dropped some bread for this trip. He's getting paid to be there. But yet his experience is so much different from mine. He didn't have that same awe. He didn't have that same, you know, blow your socks off. This is amazing. No, see, it was different for him because this is where he's from. He's been here for a while. As a matter of fact, the dude comes up to my room, and we had to switch rooms or whatever. And so we go to a higher level. And the guy comes up, and he's coming to get something off of the balcony. And he looks out, and he stops, and he pauses. And he has this, wow moment. And the dude is like 23, 24 years old, but he'd never been in the room from that position, looking out over the balcony and seeing something so beautiful before. And for a moment, he had that same look on his face that I had on my face the whole trip. I'm like, man, why are you finally having this moment? You live here. This is where you're from. This is your home. If it was me, I'd be in this water all day long, every chance I get. And I heard a very interesting fact about Jamaicans. 80% of them can't swim. 80%. That's a crazy, just it's crazy to think of. 80% of y'all jokers surrounded by water can't swim. You hardly ever go to the water. And when you do, you don't get in there to swim. You're working. Because tourism is the biggest industry for Jamaica. So what I see is paradise, they see totally different. Let me ask you, how many times have you been in your relationship and been frustrated, upset, talking to somebody else, and they're thinking you got it going on? I mean, no, let's just kill that. How many times on Facebook, your relationship status, you know, the pictures that you post, the way it looks to the world is something totally different from how things are really going on the inside, behind them closed doors. And the reason why that happens is it's not even that we get comfortable with our relationships, but we stop placing so much value in it. See, the only reason that I had that awe moment, that awe feeling the whole time, I'm in Jamaica, 6 days in Jamaica, man. I mean, I'm just in awe. This is it. This is the spot for me. But the only reason I had that feeling is because I had built up. It was built up in my heart and my head. I mean, you know, all your life you hear about Jim, come to Jamaica and feel all right, right? You know what I'm saying? So I'm in Jamaica and I feel all right. I mean, what about before you got married, right? And they was telling you, oh man, you know, everything on TV, everything you see on television, relationships. Get in a relationship and feel all right. You know what I'm saying? Like you turn on the TV and all you see is these couple shows and reality shows where you know, the man is looking for love and the woman is looking for love, and or you look at the Cosby Show or Family Matters, and that's all I can think of right now. Unfortunately, I'm old school. But you know, you look at it and they got these marriages. Even when they get upset with each other, it in 30 minutes they go from love to crisis to back to love. I mean, it always seems to work out in 30 minutes or less. These marriages, these relationships always get better. It's just how it is. Bill Cosby mess up. He's doing good. He mess up. He in trouble. He do something sweet. He bring out some cake or some flowers. And boom, the relationship is back on track. Everything is all good. And so we watched that growing up. And or we look at Facebook and we see all these beautiful couples and all these wonderful relationships. So we get on Twitter and we hear about these wonderful couples and wonderful relationships. And you see it on TV and you see it on social media and on Instagram. And all your friends, they just hooking up and everybody getting married around you. And you just can't wait for your Boaz. Or you just can't wait for your Abigail. And you finally getting yours. And after a couple months, it's like, man, somebody lied to me, right? I mean, it's like, who is this person? What is this? I thought marriage was supposed to be like a trip to Jamaica. Well, it is supposed to be like a trip to Jamaica. I'm not saying that it's supposed to always be wonderful and grand and beautiful and lovely and delightful. Yeah, you're going to have troubles and trials and tribulations and storms. And Paul said, man, hey, look, I'd rather you not even get married, because if you get married, you're going to have some trials and troubles. It's better for you to just stay single and serve the Lord. Paul was just like, look, just don't even get married, because it's, you're going to be stressed out. And if you really want to serve God to the best of your ability, just leave that marriage stuff alone. Because when you get married, you begin to live for your spouse. And I'm just trying to say, no, marriage ain't supposed to be like your trip to Jamaica or my trip to Jamaica. But marriage in a way is supposed to be. Because the truth of the matter is, I could have had the same experience that he had. The only reason I had a different experience, not because he lived there, and it wasn't because I didn't live there, but it was because my perspective of it was different from his perspective of it. He had a different set of values. He had a different view of how he valued living there than I did. And the reason I could say he had something different, it was his perspective. It had nothing to do with him living there, because when he went into my room, and he looked out from the fifth floor over the beautiful scenery that I was looking at, he saw it. His stuff changed. His location didn't change. His living situation didn't change. For a brief moment, I'm not saying this was like he went back to his house and he was like, oh, I love being in Jamaica. I'm just saying, for a brief moment, his perspective change. He saw Jamaica from my eyes, not his. Man, I really want to stay on that part, but I got to go on to my lesson. But I'm going to say this. When God is looking at your spouse, he's not looking from your eyes, he's looking from his. Just think about that. And I'm going to tie that together a little bit later, but I want you to really think about that. When God is looking at your spouse, he's not looking from your perspective. He's looking from his. Come on, man. So let's get into this, because, you know, I'm going to be like, man, he always talking Bible, but he barely read any of the Bible. And that's true. I only give you one or two scriptures every time I do this. And, you know, if you don't like it, oh, well. I love you. Christ loves you. And everything going to be all right. But listen, let me give you this real quick. Matthew 26, verse 6 says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, A woman came to him with the alabaster box, a very expensive perfume, while she poured, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they said. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And I just want to pay memory to her right now. Because here it is that Jesus is chilling with 12 disciples. Bible said he's reclining, which means he's relaxed. And if he's relaxed, everybody else is relaxed. He's reclining at the table. He's at Simon's house at the table reclining. And this is Jesus and his 12 disciples. And here a woman walks in, a woman who has not been walking with him all throughout the first 25 chapters of Matthew. A woman who's only been mentioned once or twice in the entire Bible, who's only mentioned like twice to three times in the entire Bible. But here is Simon and Peter and Judas and all these other cats that's just chilling with him, who he called and he picked by name. "Matthew, come here. Peter, come here. Come follow me. And I'll make you a fisherman." "Yes, Peter, I know you can fish and you've been fishing all your life." And here it is that Peter's out there on the boat and he's fishing and he's like, "Man, I've been fishing all day. I ain't caught nothing." And Jesus says, "You will cast your net on the other side." And Peter's like, "You know, that don't make sense because, you know, I've been fishing over here and casting on the other side. I'm still fishing over here. But, you know, never at your word, since you said do it, I'll do it." Whatever. And he does it. And the catch is so big, it's so miraculous that his nets begin to break and he has to go and call another boat to come and help him pull in the haul. Or what about the time when Jesus fed 5,000 people? I mean, they were there. They were there. They helped pass out the crumbs of bread that fed 5,000 men, women, 5,000 men plus women and children. Not just 5,000 men, but plus women and children. Or what about the time when he healed the blind? They were there. The same people was there. The same 12 guys, not Mary, but the 12 disciples, they were there when Jesus walked on water and bid Peter to come, and he got off the boat and began to walk on water. They saw it when Jesus lifted down and put, when Peter began to sink, and Jesus picked him up out of the water and walked back to the boat on water. Not swim, but walked. They were there when he healed the leper. They were there when he called Lazarus from the cave. When Lazarus had died, dead 4 days. And Jesus is like, "All right, well, you know, I could have came earlier. And the only real reason that I'm crying is because of your unbelief, not because I'm hurting for Lazarus, although I am concerned about him. But you know what? Since y'all don't believe, Lazarus come forth and Lazarus comes forth." I mean, these are 12 disciples who have been there for just about every miracle that Jesus performed. They saw the lame walk. They saw the blind see. They saw the ones who were mute begin to speak. They saw the man who was being tormented by legions of demons be healed and walk away with his mind clear. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Man, I wish I had a church that's respond back to me right now. And you may be asking, "Well, what does this have to do with losing my art?" Well, think about that. Because here it is that this woman has this expensive box of perfume and she pours it over the head of Jesus. And the same 12 people who had saw him do all these miraculous things, had been there with him in the trenches, has saw him change lives. They had lost their awe. They became comfortable, complacent with the presence of him. This is why it bothers me, man, when I'm in church service and I just see men who are so who believe their masculinity is tarnished if they cry before God. You know, like, it just bothers me when people won't worship God. Just, you ain't got to worship him like I do, but worship him like you do. Like, if he's done anything for you, give him some worship. You ain't even got to cry. Your heart don't have to be broken, but you can definitely lift your hands. You can definitely open your mouth. You can sing along with the host of heaven and glorify God. He is God, by the way. He did wake you up in this morning. He did allow you to make it to church. He is allowing your heart to continue to beat in order for blood to flow through your veins and air to come in your lungs. He's God. He deserves you singing along with the rest of everyone else. He deserves you praying. He deserves you closing your eyes. He deserves you lifting up your hand and worshiping him. He deserves it. He's God. How dare we get so comfortable and think this is just a church or this is just a building? But we're not talking about that right now. What we're talking about is your relationship. And the way I'm going to tie this in is this is the same thing that happens to us. In our marriages, we get so frustrated with these little issues, little trials that really don't amount to much, but we make them bigger than what they are. I mean, say you're in an argument with your spouse, and it's a serious argument. Okay. Deal with the issue. But after you deal with the issue, you still got to live with that person. So be careful how you respond. Because the last thing you want to do is be dealing with the issue and offend that person because you don't know how to deal with the issue. Or offend that person because you disagree. So you say something out of character to hurt. Just deal with the issue. Whatever the issue is, deal with the issue. Don't deal with the person like the person is the issue, because the person isn't the issue. The issue is the issue. The problem, whatever you're fighting about, arguing it about, that's the issue. The person, no, the person is not the issue. So here I am on this vacation, and I'm seeing Jamaica from a totally different perspective from this other guy, though he's been living there all his life. How many times has somebody else gave your spouse more praise than you? Or told you, oh man, your spouse, man, that's, he's so awesome, she's so awesome, I love the way they do this, and here you are in the back of your mind, you can't even focus on that because you're just thinking about how the sewage system always jacked up, or you thinking about how the government ain't paying the taxes, or you think about all these other things, and you're missing the opportunity to be at awe. You know, when I was first pursuing my wife, man, I didn't want her touching the doorknob. I wanted to open the door before she got in and open the door when she was getting out. You know, I don't know if I went overboard or not. Maybe y'all tell me. I mean, you know, maybe I did. I don't know. But if when I would open the door and let the shit get in the car, I would actually buckle her seatbelt. Yeah. I know. Tell you, you probably thinking like this dude crazy. You know, I would literally buckle her seatbelt for her. I mean, I just went over and above. Like, hey, look, girl, if I'm gonna win your heart, I'm gonna win with fashion. You know, I ain't gonna just win. You know, I'm gonna beat everybody else by a mile. That was my goal. I wasn't just trying to win. You know, I was trying to make a mark that couldn't be erased. Like, you know, when she thought about me, any other boyfriend or any other man that she ever dated or thought about, I wanted to make sure that I beat them by a country mile. You know what I mean? Like, there were no close seconds. That was my goal. No close seconds. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the man, period. And that's what I shot for. And that's what I gave her. I wasn't perfect at it. I'm sure. She probably got a different story to tell you, but at least from my perspective, you know what I'm saying? I did my thing. I won. You know what I'm saying? She mine. I must have did something right, right? But then after a while, I begin to lose my awe, and I stopped opening the door for her. And I started just pushing the button. You know, you get on in. I stopped buckling her seatbelt. I kind of got to get back to that because it made her feel special. And I want you to really write this down if you can, or whatever, you know, put it in your heart. But the quality of your grass will always be a result of the quality of your quality of care for it. You know how they say the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, that's just because you're not caring for your grass. So I'm going to say it again. The quality of your grass will always be a result of your quality of care for it. If you take care of your spouse, if you take care of that relationship, if you take care of whoever it is, I mean, 10 years, 20 years down the line, you still be in awe of it. You know why? Because you've invested in it. Put in the right amount of time. You've given it what it needs in order to grow. And see, this is the thing about taking care of grass, is that it's work. It's work. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I hate doing the yard. Like, you know, when I was a kid, kind of sad, man. I'm going to get a house, but I ain't going to have no yard. And that's the sad part. I wanted to live in the country with no yard. But I just hated it. I hated doing the yard. I hated mowing. I hated raking. It was trees all around us, just like it is right now. I hated doing the hedges. I just hated it. But it had to be done. Somebody had to do it. And that's the problem right there. Because with your spouse or with your marriage, it's not that it has to be done if somebody has to do it. It's that you get to do it. It belongs to you. That's my yard. It represents me. When somebody passes by my house and if my yard looks bad, guess what they think about me? So I get to take care of my yard because it's a it speaks for me. Yeah, I don't mean to say your spouse is the grass or lawn. But the Bible does tell us to labor to know our wives, to labor to know our spouses. And labor is work. You cannot sit back on the couch and labor to know your spouse. It don't work like that. You got to do the work. And the more you do the work, the more you'll invest, because working is investing. So like when I go to work, I wake up and I go to work in the morning, I'm investing my time into Shans. And they're going to pay me according to my investment. Period. They pay me according to what I put in. If I put in 38 hours, they pay me according to 38 hours. If I put in 45 hours, they pay me according to 45 hours. I can't get more out of them than what I put in. It just doesn't work like that. There's a system. Your car, it requires gas in order to go. If you don't put gas in it, you ain't going anywhere. I don't care if you drive a BMW, Lamborghini. I don't care if you drive a Hummer. I don't care if you drive a Prius. I don't care what you drive. If it doesn't have the right type of fuel and the right amount of fuel, it's not going to get you anywhere. The car needs gas. Nobody likes going and pumping gas. Nobody likes to have to stop on a road trip to go get gas. Like, if you got to stop, all right, I understand stopping to get food, stopping to use the bathroom, but I hate stopping to get gas. But guess what? I have to. Even though it may slow me down, I have to, because my car requires gas in order to get me where I'm trying to go. And your marriage, your spouse, whatever it is, they require love, attention, whatever it is. But when you give it to your spouse, You're giving your spouse what they need in order and I don't want to say to give you what you need. I hate that because it's not about me meeting your needs so you can meet my needs. That's not how God operates. Because the Bible says that Jesus loved us before we even had an opportunity, before we even knew that we would have life. He first gave his life for us. So it's not about give so you can get. That's not what this thing is about. But if you don't give your relationship what they need, if you don't give your spouse what she needs, if you don't give your grass water, sunlight, and care, it's going to die. If you don't put gas in your car, it's not going to move. If you don't give your spouse the love and attention they need, your relationship is going to die. And you can still be in a living relationship, but still, I mean, you can be in a relationship and it be dead. Going to sleep in the same bed. Waking up, cooking dinner for each other, go out once a month, go to church together, smile, you know, high five each other in church. I don't know, whatever it is that you're doing. But, you know, nobody else may not know, but you know, y'all know, your relationship dead. Because you're not putting in what it needs. So what does your spouse need? I mean, maybe you should go home, or if you're already home, you know. Just ask them, you know, what do you need? What can I invest in you? Because truly, man, you know, even right now, man, you know, I'm looking for opportunities to invest in my spouse. You know, and if it's like one small thing a day or a week or whatever it is, I'm just trying to make sure that I keep her on the forefront of my heart and of my mind, that she doesn't feel neglected, or that she doesn't feel like I'm not thinking about her, or that she doesn't matter. So I'm always looking for opportunities to just do something small or just something sweet for her. It is not always in the big things. Like, you know, I talked to this brother the other day. I was like, man, what you doing for your wife lately? He's like, man, I got these big plans, man. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm thinking like, bruh, if you only knew, man, that's not what does it for your spouse, man. Especially women, man. Women, they don't really need something so big all the time. They just need to know that you're thinking about them. Do something small. Just do something. You know, a lot of times, especially as men, we spend so much time planning, and time is going by. You could take half that time you spent planning and just do something. Cook a dinner. And don't just cook a regular dinner, but do something extra, you know? Just to say, hey, look, I was thinking about you today. My wife loves Nutella. So I put it in my heart that anytime I go to Publix, I'll bring home Nutella. Hey, it may not be something big or grand, but at least it says to her, I thought about her while I was out. And you know what the sad part is? My wife used to beat this in my head all the time. All the time. You know, I don't feel like you think about me. You know, you go to the store and you get something for you and you don't think about me. You know, you do this, you do that, and I just don't feel like you're putting me, like I'm first in your life. And all the time I'm like, whatever. We just did this big thing. Okay, baby, I hear you, but remember when I took you here, this big thing? And what I was missing is, what she was saying was, it's not the big things. It's every day I need to know that I matter to you. Because that's what tells me I'm still your favorite girl. And guys, your spouse will lose that all for you when you don't invest in them. Man. How about this? Esther. Remember Esther? Before Esther even came on the scene, King Xerxes, one translation says, and the other translation calls him the Xerxes or something. I can't even say it. So I'm just going to call him Xerxes. But before Esther came on the scene, he was married to a woman named Vashti, or Vashti, right? Apparently I'm bad with names, biblical names, that is. And he's having this big party, this big dinner for the entire kingdom. And at this dinner, you know, he's just drinking, they're having fun, they're having a good time. And he calls for his wife, the queen. And she's so, you know, she's like, you know what? I'm not coming. Tell him I'm not coming. it angered him. Because here it is that he's the king. And if you read the entire chapter of Esther, you find out that she couldn't just come. Esther couldn't just come to the king. Like, she had to be permitted in his presence. I mean, if anybody was to just come to him and not be permitted or not be requested or called for, they would be put to death. Like, it meant something to be in the presence of the king. And here it is that he's calling on her to just come out and show how beautiful she is. But she had got too comfortable with him. She got so complacent in her position as queen. She began to look at her for who she was and miss that she wouldn't even be queen without the king. Man. The quality of your grass will always be a result of your quality of care for it. You can't get something out of something if you're not putting something in it. Understand that, going back to Matthew, there Jesus was. After he had did all these miracles, coming to the end of his life, the end of it all, he's about to, within the next chapter, go to the Garden of Gethsemane and, you know, be put on the cross. And he's done all this, these miraculous things and all these miracles. And yet his disciples had got so comfortable with him that they couldn't allow somebody else to honor him for thinking about what they can do with the money. They lost their awe. Don't get comfortable. Just because you go to bed with her every night, just because you go to bed with him every night, man, don't get comfortable. Because somebody else is willing to break a box of alabaster. Somebody else sees them as all this and all that. Somebody else will sell all they have. Because your trash is definitely somebody else's treasure. Listen, people broke up with me. I had a girl break up with me more than one. They're lost. Because I was somebody else's treasure. I thank God. I don't know if somebody ever broke up with my wife, but I thank God that they did. I thank God. I'm grateful that her relationships didn't work out. I'm grateful. I'm not saying she wasn't married before. Thank God for that too. But what I'm saying is they didn't see what I had an opportunity to see. And I'm not going to miss this opportunity every day. Because it's not just that one-time thing. Like, marriage isn't about the wedding. Marriage is a day-to-day, I do today, and I do tomorrow, and I do next week, and I do next year. Because I may never get today back, but if God grants me tomorrow, I'm going to do the best I can with it. And in that, I got to make sure my wife knows, man, hey, look, if she's not secure of anything else in this world, there's two things she got to be secure of. One, that her husband loves her and will never leave her. And two, that Jesus loves her and will never leave her. And you put that either way. But that's just my goal. I got to show her the love of God through how I live, how I love her, how I respond, how I react to her, how I treat her, how I lift her up, what I do for her, what I do when she's not around, when nobody else is looking. That's a big one right there. Because if I'm only living for her if I'm only living as a married man, honorable, respectable husband, with my eyes, my actions, my thoughts, my hands, the people I talk to, how I communicate with people, if I'm only married when she's around or it can get back to her, then I'm not really married. Because, or really, what's happened is I made her God and I put the real God on the back burner and said that the only one that really matters is her. And as long as she doesn't see it, then I'm good. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is always watching. His word says, I never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with us to the very end. He's right here with you, whether she's watching or not. And so because of that, what I do when she's not around is just as important as what I do when she is around, if not even more important. Man, loving your spouse has got to be like, it's got to be like your main investment in life. Because the reason I say that is, the reason it's got to be your main investment is because if you don't invest in your marriage, your relationship, say you lose your house, but your relationship is invested into, like you've done everything you can and you guys have worked it out and you've worked it out and you've worked at it, you've worked at it. You could lose everything else around you and still have that relationship and it be going strong. Everything's good. Your life is still good. You know why? Because your marriage is your biggest investment. It's your biggest investment. Why do I say that? Because one thing happened in your marriage, bad, it affects everything else in your life. It affects your job. It affects how you treat other people. It affects how you respond to your children. It affects how you respond to your parents. How it affects how you respond to God. What happens in your marriage? So if that's the case, if your marriage can affect everything else around you, why not make that the main thing that you invest in? The main thing that you're focusing on. And of course, I'm talking about aside from your relationship with God, but really they're intertwined. Because you can't truly love your spouse without truly loving God. And you can't truly love God without truly loving your spouse. Because the Bible says, how could you say you love me, but you hate your brother? How could, you know, the Bible tells us before we even come to him in prayer to go and straighten out any art that we have with our brother, any complaints, any issues, any quarrels we have, we're supposed to go and straighten them out. It says before you even pray, you should go and straighten out things with your wife or your prayers will be hindered. Labor to know her or your prayers will be hindered. So you got to, in order for you to truly love God with all your heart, you got to love your spouse with all your heart. And in order to really love your spouse with all your heart, you got to love, that's synonymous, man. God is going to always be on top of that. But they go hand in hand. That's why I believe, man, God used these marriages, man, to push us closer to him. And if at any time they pull us away from him, oh, man, look, I'm running out of time. Hey, listen, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I feel like I just rambled on. I got all these points in on this, man. I didn't even get into it. I just started talking. So, hey, you know what it is. It's always like this. This is the Revive Radio Show. It's your host, the Quan King. And we're always going to get at it like this, man. I love you guys. You can always tune in from every Monday at 8 o'clock on the Revive Radio Show. The call-in number is 657-383-0309. Next week, I think I'm going to have my brother on with me. We're going to be talking about love again next week, about marriage. And I have a different topic for y'all next week. So let's get at it, man. Love you guys. Need any prayer for anything, man, hit us up at that number. All right. God bless y'all, man. Peace.
We've all been given an assignment. Every single one of us. We've all been designed to occupy a place in the body. You'd think that we would embrace it, but oddly, we've replaced it with folly. So on the day we depart, we'll explain to a God who would hang on a cross, we were ashamed to exalt you in the face of the false. So at night we're awake, in the day we're exhausted. We've strayed from the promise relayed through his prophets while Satan is scoffing, orchestrating and plotting. The sin in this world, the ladies that often are stripped from their homes and exchanged for a profit. The millions of Christians that are placed in a coffin by thousands of Muslims obeying Muhammad. The babies, no fathers. The slain and the fallen, the blood on our hands, the stain on our conscience. It was your name that he called in Isaiah when God said, whom shall I send? Your hand raised, then you thought regret. Every name that I've lost, fear has placed me in bondage. Sin is engraved in my posture, confusion in my brain, it won't stop. In doubt, are you sure it's my name that you called?
See, you can become everything that our Father has called you to be. In spite of yourself, the way that you feel and the flaws that you see. Your past is a mess and the scars you receive make it hard to believe. But the pain of your past will not serve as a win that we all can achieve. See, Jesus was hung and he bled and he died that we all could be free. But the things of this world try to strangle you and make it harder to breathe. But the people in bondage are waiting on you to acknowledge their need. And if Christ doesn't meet you halfway, then what kind of God would he be? So we fight for the truth and disciple the youth who are biting the fruit. We rebuild the image of Christ in the church, the bride and the groom. And now we must go. As darkness approaches, we're losing the sun.
There's a world that will know him, but now we're just waiting on you to become.